you. How many of you know there is a difference between fast food and real gourmet food? How many of you? Just raise your hand, would you? In spite of that, how many of you still would prefer fast junk food over real food? Just raise your hand, would you? Would you? Yep, we have a couple honest people. They can join our Get to Heaven Sooner Club. Yeah, you guys will be part of that group. Every one of us knows that the fast food does not have to take this Logos word and turn it into Rhema word. I pray that every time I go into the Scripture. Take the written word, cause it to come alive. My prayer is, Father, I want to hear your voice when I read it. Take time and pray. After you have done that, I'm going to encourage you to read the passage one time, and after you read it, just ask and write down what initially jumps out at you after one time. What is it that's hitting me after one time of reading? After you have done that, I'm going to encourage you to go back and read that passage two more times. You can be thankful, because a lot of pastors encourage and say, before you ever teach and preach, make sure that you read that book you're teaching from seven times before you even start. I'm only asking you to do three. Can you say amen? After you read it two more times, to ask the question and say, Holy Spirit, what word or words are jumping out at me after I've read it? What word? A single word. Can I tell you, there are times in my devotion, the only thing that happens is there is a single word that jumps off that page, and that is what the Holy Spirit uses and keeps me in that word the entire time I'm there. I've told you before, when I read a book, if I get one good thing out of that book, it is worth the read. So after you've read it two times, you go in and you say, Holy Spirit, what is the word or words that are standing out? And when those words are jumping off the page, you choose to take those words, stick them into your spirit, and sit there and chew on them, meditate on them, chew your cud, swallow it, burp it back up, do it again, be a cow for a period of time. That's what I'm asking. Not just read it and run. Sitting in the presence, allowing the Spirit of God to speak, to ruminate, to cause it to come alive. I want to do one passage this morning, and I want to share with you, because I did this with one passage today, and I want to share with you some of my thoughts coming out of it, and then I'm going to invite you and show you the passages I'm going to encourage you in this next week. Would you turn with me to Matthew chapter 21? Service this morning, the triumphal entry. I want to tell you, you can already see it on your sheet, but as I was praying about this, the Lord said, this year, Paul, I want to encourage you to keep everybody just in the book of Matthew. Doesn't mean you're going to stay there, you're going to jump over to the other Gospels, there's going to be other scriptures that come alive inside of you, but all of these are going to be in the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 21 is the triumphal entry. Going to read the whole thing again, because I did that already, but I want to share with you a few things that when I read through it one time that jumped out at me when I went back, some of the words that jumped out and I got stuck, but I want to begin with some of the things that first jumped out, verse 2 and 3 of chapter 21, where Jesus said to his disciples, go in the village ahead of you, at once you'll find a donkey tied there, her colt, untie them, bring them, if someone says to you, tell them the Lord needs them, and they'll send you on their way. I got stopped when I was reading through that the first time, and what hit me, the Lord just said to me, Colin, I want you to know that there isn't a single day of your life that I'm not going ahead of you knowing what you're going to encounter that day. I know what's there before you get there. I know where the donkey's tied. I know who's going to ask you and question you what you're doing. I have arranged every detail of your life before you get there. You don't have to think about it. You don't have to plan for it. You just need to know, I'm speaking it out, and when you get there, it's already looked after. I got stuck in that for a long period of time. Because can I tell you, for me, that's good news. I am not that smart to plan my days, my week, my life. Never forget Chuck Swindoll when he made a statement and somebody asked him and said, so did you ever plan that one day you would have a ministry like Insight for Living? Did you ever plan that you would be the head of Wheaton College? Did you ever plan that you would do that? He goes, I'll tell you honestly. He goes, as a pastor, I woke up in the morning and I said, God, what is it you have for me today? I want to be faithful with today. He goes, that's as far as I went. hundreds of years earlier in Zechariah. I got stuck there again. Can I just say to you, are we living in a day where some of the prophetic words that have been spoken about the latter days we're in are beginning to be fulfilled? Are we in that day? Oh my goodness, can I just say with you again? There is not one word that has been prophesied through a genuine prophet of God, written in Scripture, and even some of the modern prophets, a genuine word that is not going to be fulfilled. It's going to be. God is faithful. If He said it, He's going to do it. Some of you have already heard this. I heard this a number of years ago. Somebody made a statement, and it's not Robert Morris. Who is Robert Morris's main teacher? Who's the guy who does the marriage stuff? What's his name? Jimmy Evans. Anybody know Jimmy Evans in here? Yeah, I heard Jimmy Evans say, I mean, a number of years ago already, he goes, every prophecy that needs to be fulfilled before the return of Christ is already fulfilled. That's what he said. John Hagee says the same thing. He goes, every prophecy that needs to be fulfilled before the return is fulfilled. I honestly don't know. I have a feeling there's going to be a few more things happen before the return. Some of those may have been prophesied. But can I just assure you, 100%, there is not one prophetic word that was released that is not going to be fulfilled. Our Father is faithful, even if nobody else is. He cared enough about a donkey to prophesy it and then fulfill it. He doesn't care just about the big, but about the little. Look at verse 6. I'm just sharing with you my quiet, private time with the Lord. Look at verse 6. After the prophetic word, it says this, the disciples went and did as Jesus instructed them. I got stuck right there. I just... You know what hit me? The disciples didn't say to Jesus, they didn't go, are you really sure it's going to be there? Are they going to really question me, and is that going to be enough for them to be convinced I'm taking their Cadillac and I'm walking away with their Cadillac? You're sure that's all I have to say is the Master needs it? You know, the disciples in relationship with Christ got to a point after being with Him for 3.5 years. He made this statement. He said, go find a donkey and bring it back to me. They go, okay, I'll do it. Not a question, not a doubt, not needing 15 other scriptures. I love it where it says, He said this to them, the disciples went and did it. I got stuck there and it's like, God, you need to work at me. I'm hearing things from you and I'm still wrestling. I'm still battling. Some of them I don't do. You tell me at times I need to make this phone call and I wrestle and I justify all this stuff. And I want to be the kind of person that when you say it, I go and do it. Can you imagine being that kind of a believer? The world is needing that kind of a believer today. Not those who question, not those who are afraid of the opinion of men, not those who doubt, not those who need more proof. Andrew Womack made a statement. He said, isn't it crazy? He goes, you would think as a believer, believing that God tells the truth and He doesn't lie, when God gives you one scripture, He goes, that should be enough. He goes, many believers are so hard-hearted. We go, I need another one. Give me another one. I need to have at least 30 scriptures to back this up. And if I don't have 30 scriptures, I'm not doing it. He goes, we are so hard and so insensitive. One word is not enough for us. God, change me. Make me the kind of person that when God says, jump, I will jump. God says, I want you to go. I will go there. God says, do that. I will do it. God says, give it up. I will give it. Can you be trusted? Praise God when God went to Noah and said, in the country where there has been no rain, I want you to build an ark and rain is coming. I'm so thankful he believed. I'm so thankful when he went to an Abraham and said, Abraham, I know you're an old dude, but I can do the impossible. You and literally your old lady are going to have a baby. I'm so thankful all down through time there were those when God spoke, they believed him. God put me on a category. were in Jerusalem, and they were not very favorable to the Jews. Or can I just point out to you, when the crowd surrounded Jesus going in, they weren't going, "It's awesome, it's awesome that you're coming. I just got to go along with you. And we just got to sneak into it." No, you know what it said? They see it! In the face of the Pharisees and Sadducees, they shut it! In the face of the Romans? Can I tell you, in the days that we're in, you're going to find two things happening in the body of Christ. There's going to be those who are backing off and becoming silent, going, I'm not going to take a stand, I'm not doing this because I don't want to pay the price. There's going to be other people who step into it and go, I'm not ashamed! This is what I believe! This is what's right! There's only going to be two types. I understand when the Bible says that in the latter days, because of what's coming down, there's going to be a pile of people who fall away. I understand that. But there are also those who are going to shout when no one else is shouting. They're going to say the name of Jesus when no one else is saying the name of Jesus. They're going to stand with the Word of God even when they're going to make that illegal and persecute. You will not be able to silence them. This passage, but you know what Jesus said? Some of them came to him and said, they're shouting, Hosanna. Silence them, quieten them down. What did he say? If they don't shout, the rocks will shout, the pavement will shout, the curbs will shout, the street signs will shout. And I just say to you, don't ever let a rock replace you. Can I say that again? Don't ever let a rock replace you. Some of you might have to throw that rock up. One last one. Would you look at verse 10? Look at verse 10. The crowd was there. They were shouting. And isn't it interesting? Almost all of Jesus' ministry, when those who were demonized, we talked about this, they hollered out and said, Jesus, Son of God, what are you? And he silenced them, right? He silenced the demons. Why? Because it wasn't time. Did he silence these people? He didn't. You know why? Because it was time. He's showing up on the scene, and he's not moving in quietly. He's coming in with a storm, moving into Jerusalem. Look at verse 10. I love this part. Verse 10, it says, when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was what? Stirred. I've got to tell you, I got stuck again. It took me a long time to write this sermon. Can I just say this to you? It took me a long time to write it. It took me a long time to process, get through God and I in this deal. Can I tell you where I went to? This is what the Lord laid in my heart. He says, Colin, he says, is your life, the way you're living your life, he says, is your city stirred because of you? That's what he said. You know what I said? Not yet. Can I ask you a question? Is your workplace stirred because of you? Is the coffee shop where you hang out, is it stirred because of you? Are your neighbors around you that have been there for 20, 30, 50 years, are they stirred because of you? next week. And I am only giving you what the Holy Spirit laid upon my heart. I'm trusting the Holy Spirit has already prepared your heart. I know there will be some of you that sheet's going to end up in the garbage, and that'll be the last you think about it. That's not up to me. I'm the farmer who dumps the feed, and the cows are responsible for it after that. I'm not calling you a cow, but kind of I am. I want to lay out for you and give you a couple quick things, but this is the pattern. I wrote it down there. grace over tonight as we begin to enter in. It's a grace over every morning and every evening, changing of schedules if it's needed. We ask for a pulling back of the veil, that as we spend time, we would see things we've never seen before, we would hear things we have never heard before. Father, as we head into this Easter weekend, I want to ask that we would head in with such a heart of thankfulness, overwhelmed by what you have done, overwhelmed by how you express your love for me. Our celebration this weekend would be unlike any other in our entire Christian walk. And God, if this is our last, make it such a last one. And if it's not, look forward to the next, and the next, and the next. Say thank you in advance for what is going to take place as we tuck in with you and your word. Over these next 9 minutes, your word comes alive. It does what we need to do. I declare to you today, as the body of Christ, you already know. I declare the Lord has blessed you. And in these days, He's keeping you. He has caused His beautiful face to shine.